You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It's a Wednesday edition of Locked On Warriors. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat writer for the Bay Area News Group, and my guest today is Bram Hilsman, the host of Warriors Huddle, a popular podcast with a higher approval rating than Donald Trump. Bram, how are you enjoying your inauguration day, other than being quoted in the Mercury News?
You are setting my bar fairly low if all I had to do is beat out Trump. So I will take it. Happy inauguration day to you. Hopefully, man, this is the last historical day that we get to live through. So this one, obviously, I'm very happy about this history and am celebrating out here in San Francisco. But I've just been exhausted by the historical series of events. So maybe this will be the last time that you and I share a date that will be remembered forever.
I wonder if a book will be written on the last 4 years. You think maybe like one or two books will be written?
Just one, and I'm sure it'll be all positive, you know. I at some point explaining to people down the line, you know, 20 years from now, that we actually lived through this is going to be such an interesting experience.
Oh my god, the movies that are going to come out of this. I mean, who plays Donald Trump in the Inglorious Bastards version of whatever the last 4 years was?
I vote for the same guy who played Hitler in the initial Inglorious Bastards. But if you had shown us a clip, I was thinking this last night. My wife likes the Ellen show and watches the spinoff, the game show thing with Ellen. And it was on last night. And for very obvious reasons, they're taping it remote. So she's in one place and these contestants are in different places. And, you know, it's this really surreal watching experience. But we have been dealing with this pandemic, man, for so long that I see that and I don't pause for a second. Well, yeah, you know, this must have been filmed post-March. Like, that's just our new reality. If you had shown that to me last year before the pandemic hit, I would have said, like, it's a science fiction movie that could never happen. It's as realistic as The Walking Dead. So it's so weird that we've been going through this for so long that we're just used to it now, you know, that these absurd moments have come off as just normal because we've been stuck in them for so many months.
Right. Last thing on the politics, but Donald Trump going out and calling Joe Biden Sleepy Joe, Sleepy Joe. I was like, that sounds great. I want to just get in my bed, go to sleep for four more years after what it was. Sleepy Joe sounds awesome. You are selling me Sleepy Joe. This is the greatest sales job of your career. Look, go ahead.
I'm on board for that. I love that. I'm also kind of excited to really find out who Biden is. If I'm being honest with you, you know who I voted for? Not Trump. You know, it's just not Trump. I was right on board for Biden because it wasn't Trump. Seeing how this ultimately plays out, we'll find out. But anyways, happy inauguration day to you. And don't think I'm going to let it slip by. Happy Bram Feinstein Hilsman in the paper day as well. Man, I saw my name in your article. Big things for me.
Big moves. I hope you realize that not only do I introduce you on every podcast as the host of the popular Warriors podcast, Warriors Huddle, but in the article itself, I hope that people reading that understood the inside joke. And only I got that. No, none of my editors questioned it. They were like, how popular is it? Do we need to we fact check this? How many downloads per month is he getting? No, they just let it go. Popular Warriors podcast, Warriors Huddle. It's in there. So
yeah, you're saying that as if I don't have that pulled up on my computer screen right now, or that I haven't read it like 50 times since it got released this morning. Yeah, man, I'm aware of what you said.
So on today's show, I want to go through the Warriors roster, sort of cover each player, a whole lot of them, and then open up some listener mail later on. But first, let's get into this, because Steve Kerr said that if he had to win a game tomorrow, he wouldn't be using the current starting lineup, but that he needs to sacrifice now in order to win later. Let's play the full quote quickly.
The team is learning on the fly, and you know, I'll be, you know, very honest. If I had to win a game tomorrow, I wouldn't start that group. If this was a one-time thing, I would start a different group and probably, you know, go to some different combinations. But this is the team that I want to see develop a really good defensive identity. And James needs to be out there. Kelly and Andrew need to be together on the wings, guarding, you know, LeBron and Kawhi and Paul George and all those guys. So it's going to take some time. And in the meantime, there's going to be some growing pains. But I'm okay with it, because for us to be great, down the road, whether it's by the end of this year or even next season, James has to develop, and Kelly and Andrew have to get comfortable. And so I'm willing to, you know, to sacrifice some things here early in the season to try to get to where we want to go later on.
So some numbers. Right now, the Warriors starting lineup has a net rating of minus 15.4, meaning they are getting outscored by 15.4 points per 100 possessions. That's really bad. Most starting lineups are positive, not negative, let alone that negative. The offensive rating is 91.4. The defensive rating is 106.8. So that would basically be the eighth best defense in the league, but that would be the worst offense of all time. So interestingly enough, if you swap out James Wiseman with Kevon Looney, you keep Steph, Draymond, Wiggins, Oubre, you have an offensive rating of 136.7, a defensive rating of 77.4 for a net rating of 59.4, which would basically be four times as good as the 2017 Warriors. Granted, it's a very small sample size, 22 minutes through seven games. But it's pretty clear that that would be the change if the Warriors were to make a change and wanted to put their best lineup out there to start games. But I get wanting to try to tap into the potential of that current group. They're 7-6 as it stands right now, taping this before the Spurs game tonight. Bram, it's tricky, but where do you stand on all of this?
So oversimplification, because that's the only thing I'm capable of. And let's start with a big, bright one. Wes, I trust Steve Kerr. And that's not a throwaway comment. I have been rooting for this team, you know, not for a decade, not for two decades, for three decades, man. And I can tell you that before Kerr came here, we weren't bowled over by coaching competency. You know, every decision that was made was questioned, and rightfully so. And the fact that there's now coaching questions, you know, swirling around again, isn't an unfamiliar place for me. But the unfamiliar thing about this question is, I trust Kerr. I didn't trust Brian Winter. I didn't trust – I mean, there's a litany of names whose starting lineups I never would have supported. But if the only question to me was, you know, stats say that this isn't working, Kerr says it does, what do you want to do? I would tell you I want to do what Kerr wants to do. Let's make it a little bit more specific. Depends on your goal, Wes. If their goal right now – is to win as many regular season games as they can during this season, well, then there's no question. The numbers speak for themselves. Kerr said it. Of course you change the lineup. This is not the lineup that's designed to win games right now. But I would hope that that's not the overall goal. You know, what happened the second that Clay got hurt is, well, and I should pause that. The overall goal is to make sure that this title window for Steph is capitalized on. And the second that Clay got hurt this year, that goal was not going to be achieved during this season. So really, the goal for this season, if what we want to do is capitalize on the championship window, is to figure out who plays well, develop lineups, and maybe most importantly, develop a 19-year-old, hopefully possible future franchise star in Wiseman. So if it came to me and we put these pieces together, if Kerr says, yeah, I recognize that we're starting short here, but it's developing these guys' chemistry and it is developing James Wiseman, then I trust him, man. And I do think that we should continue on this line. And it's small sample size. If you ask me again, 30 games into the season, and it's still obvious that Looney takes a historically bad offensive lineman or lineup and makes them a competent one, well, you know, we gotta relook at it. But right now, I'm willing to have a little patience and a little trust.
Let's talk about betonline.ag. Are we ready for some football? Because the NFL heads into the conference championship weekend. You've got the Packers playing the Buccaneers. The Packers are 3-point favorites this weekend. The Chiefs are 3-point favorites over the Bills at the time of this recording, and there's no place that I trust to bet on the games like betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Again, this is conference championship week. This is huge in the NFL. It's the biggest week other than the Super Bowl itself. Get ahead of the game now. Right? Sign up at betonline.ag, get your account funded, get going, put some money on these games. Now, I don't really have a great feel for what I would do. Patrick Mahomes with Kansas City, unclear if he's going to be available against Buffalo, even though I kind of like the Bills getting 3 points either way, even with Patrick Mahomes, just from a value perspective. I know the Buccaneers crushed the Packers in the regular season, but I think the Packers are much better now than they were then. I like them getting a -3, but still, I'm not really sure where I would go on these bets. Maybe you are. And if you are, don't sit on the sideline. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. And look, these stats, like I said, they don't favor the starting lineup that much, but Steve Kerr's only rolling out that starting lineup for the first 6 minutes of the game. And at that point, he takes James Wiseman out, right? Wiseman plays the first half of the first quarter. And so you're not, look, it's 15.4 points per 100 possessions. It's a net rating. It's just, you know, that's not representative of what happens in those first 6 minutes. And then you get to, at some point after the first 12 minutes, you get to that bench unit that's been winning them games and all these things. So he's managing it in a way where that it doesn't hurt them as much as the advanced stats even say it is hurting them. That's granted, it's still hurting them. They're still kind of, after these first quarters, just like in that Lakers game, they're starting with against a handicap essentially. And but you want to not be peaking now, but you want to be peaking when the playoffs are starting. And you see the version of this team. And by the way, I thought it was important that Steve Kerr finally just came out and said, all right, everybody that's yelling at me about the starting lineup, I understand that it's not very good, but here's why we're doing this. I thought it was important for him to address it. And it's something that I've been saying this whole time. If you want to break, everybody keeps pointing to Kelly Oubre. If you want to break up Wiggins and Oubre, move Oubre to the second unit, whatever, do that. But when you play a team like the Lakers or you play a team like the Clippers, do you really want Damian Lee or Kent Bazemore guarding Kawhi Leonard? No.
Right.
You need Wiggins and Oubre out there, as bad as Oubre has been on offense. And with Wiseman, look, I think Kevon Looney's been really good for them, but the best version of this team, if they want to get to where it is that they want to go, not this year, but next year, then it means that you need to get Wiseman, not necessarily starting, but as many minutes with the other starters as possible. That's why you have to start Wiseman. It's not because he's your best option. It's not because of anything else. You just have to play him as many minutes with Steph and Draymond as possible, because next year he's going to have to play as many minutes with Steph, Draymond, and Klay Thompson as possible. So this year you need to take the long view while also finding that balance of winning enough games to get to the playoffs, because that's ultimately what we're talking about here. And that's the tricky balance that Steve Kerr has to work on. And I'll say one more thing on this, but you know, I'm working on a story on James Wiseman right now. And I talked to Bob Myers on the phone a couple days ago, and he brought this very same thing up, that Steve Kerr's hardest job this year right now is doing exactly what I just said, trying to play James Wiseman and focus on that development and let him play through his mistakes without him necessarily costing the Warriors games right now. The highlights have been great, but overall, he makes too many mistakes, and that's why you don't see him in a lot of these fourth quarters. And the closing lineup so often involves Kevon Looney and not James Wiseman.
Yep. And to put the rubber to the road, if what they're trying to do is both develop Wiseman and make the playoffs, and so far that opening lineup has not been playing super well, and Wiseman has probably had the lowest stretch he's going to have. Right now, Wes, the Warriors are 7-6, seventh place in the West. They're making the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And they are trying to develop Wiseman. So they may actually, despite all of this criticism, be achieving those two goals. And let's add another thing, man. Wiseman, I know you've said it, but he's 19. So when we're looking at the lineup's numbers, when we include Looney, those stats, you know, those figures, we can really bank on those. Looney isn't going to continue to develop. We know who the hell Looney is, and we know who the remainder of the starting five is. Like, those guys, maybe with the exception of Oubre, we can bank on that productivity. But Wiseman is 19. You know, he's going to be a different player in 2 months. He's going to be a different player next year. We have no idea really what his contributions are going to be to those starting five until he's developed into that player. Only way we can do that, man, is to continue to develop his game. So, yeah, I back Kerr on this. I can see where the frustration's coming from. Actually, you know what? I can't see where the frustration's coming from, Wes. I do not know when our fan base became as entitled as they've become. You know, we're coming off a stretch where they went to we are one season removed where they went to five straight finals. You know, if they're having a little shortcoming this year, figuring out how to match all these pieces together, maybe everybody just relax a little bit. They will figure it out.
I have noticed the same entitlement from the fan base. It is a sky is falling after every single loss. After that Denver game, it was, I was getting questions about whether or not the Warriors should tank. And I was like, they're 500. Relax. You know, it, and they lost to a Nuggets team in Denver, a Nuggets team that was in the conference finals, a really good team. You lose to a really good team. That's okay. I don't care what the score is. You can lose to a good team. And now after they beat the Lakers, they're like, oh, well, we're probably going to win the championship this year.
There's still wild swings, right? You go to the beginning the of the year, swings. All of us are like, we got so lucky with Wiseman. Oh my God, this draft is loaded and we got the one player. Then he has a lack of success against Anthony Davis, against Jokic, against the front court of the future, right? I mean, they've been playing the best of the best in the bigs. And when he doesn't immediately develop then as a 19-year-old who didn't have a college season, everybody freaks out again, relax. We will be fine.
I think what we're seeing right now is just what happens when you are easily the best team in the league. There is no doubt that you are going to go to the NBA Finals. This isn't I like to compare, you know, dynasties, right? And you look at those old Celtics teams, you look at the old Miami Heat teams. There is even doubt with those groups, right? Like those big threes, those super teams. There was doubt whether or not you could go as far as they went every year. The Pacers series, the Chicago Bulls series with Miami, I didn't know if they were going to make it through those. I thought they would. I hoped they would. I didn't know. But this Warriors team, there was never doubt. Even when they were down to Houston in 2018, nobody ever really thought that the Warriors were going to lose that series. If you gave everybody truth serum, nobody really, even the Rockets probably were like, we're probably not going to win this series. I've never seen a sure thing the way that I have seen a sure thing out of those Warriors for those 5 years or really those 3 years with Durant. And now that's gone and Warriors fans were so used to it. And now that there's a little bit of doubt, this is the way I think it's sort of manifested itself is, oh my God, we lost. What does this mean? Whereas before, oh, we lost is because we didn't care. We weren't trying. We'll win the next one. And that's what the difference is. I want to talk. Go ahead.
There's a new vocal, I would hope, minority who is talking so much more that we associate them as the only group of Warrior fans. Yeah. And that new group didn't go through any conflict. There's another quote a while back from Steve Kerr. I think it was during the dynastic years. And he said, this isn't the real NBA. You know, we are avoiding that. And he was right.
Yeah.
And now that we are back to the real NBA, a place where you do have to develop, where there's going to be some rocky roads, where you have some issues, the group of fans who are used to everything always working out, to only being disappointed 9 times out of 82 during a regular season,
right,
they're not used to this shit, man, and they're freaking out. Well, no. If they are listening to your podcast, let me tell you, I've seen this. Relax. We'll be okay. We're in good hands. Things will work out just fine.
They are not in the real NBA. They are now. That Warriors fan group is a very online, I think, Warriors fan that went online to enjoy those finals runs, which is fine. That's why. That's ultimately why sports teams win games is to get more fans and make more money. That's why teams win, and that's so it's okay. I'm not a person who says, oh, don't hop on the bandwagon. The bandwagon exists so that teams have an incentive to win, but. It is interesting when you have those online Warriors fans who became, maybe they became NBA fans and not just Warriors fans and their method of watching and appreciating the NBA was via the Warriors experience. And you just really don't know what the rest of the NBA is like. I implore a Warriors fan who hasn't done this in a long time, go watch a Memphis Grizzlies game. Go watch an Oklahoma City Thunder game. Go watch a middling Memphis team Grizzly like game. The Atlanta Hawks that is trying to take that next step.
Go watch an early 2000s Warriors game.
Yes.
Go watch some of the asshat losers that came through the Oakland Coliseum and be happy that Wiseman is our center. You know, that will solve most of your problems.
Speaking of Wiseman, what have you thought about his season so far, his rookie season?
It's, I guess, what I would expect. It's filled with the kinds of ups and downs of a 19-year-old who's trying to figure out his own potential while playing with a legend who's trying to maximize his. So I am really excited for who he can become. Every time he has like a Euro step from the three-point line that leads to a dunk, I think his skill set is incredible. But, you know, there's going to be some rough patches. And we just saw that. There's going to be some learning curves. So I don't expect him to be a championship asset immediately. I hope that after this year, he can contribute to a championship run when Clay comes back.
Let's talk about our friends at Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing number of vehicle makes and models, it can be impossible to stock all the parts you need for your car, especially now, while you might not be able to visit a traditional store. So do it easily online instead at rockauto.com. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything you need, from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low without the markup that you find at chain stores or from pushy salespeople. So go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck, and then find the How Did You Hear About Us box and write the phrase "locked on" there so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com.
I think the highs have been really high with him, and he's going to be inconsistent, and he's going to struggle, and he's going to be net a negative impact because he's 19 years old, because it takes a really long time for centers who not only have to just be big and guard other big guys, but they really do have to sort of quarterback the defense. They have to, you know, point guys out. They're the last line of defense. They're the guy that are called, they're the person that's calling out screens and everything like that. Like, timing is so important at playing center in today's NBA, and he's still getting used to the speed of the game. Right. And so that throws off all of the timing. But when you see things like him hitting three pointers, and man, I went on your podcast several times and said, I don't believe in this guy's game, because in those three games in Memphis, I didn't see it, man. I thought he had zero ball skills. He wasn't a good passer. I'm like, cool, he's really big, he's fast, he runs the floor well. That's all I'm seeing right now. Defensively, he struggles like that, but that's everything that I'm seeing. He wasn't very physical. But right now, you know, that three-point shot is legitimate. And it's not just a fluke. Like, he's not going to shoot 60% for his career, but it's legit. And it needs to be respected. And that's really what we're talking about. As a lob threat, it's legit. They're still trying to figure out the timing on those lobs, but he could jump really high and he's really fast, and that's all you really need. As far as that's concerned, I think he's still trying to get used to some of the physicality of the game. He needs to bang bodies a little bit more. He needs to be more willing to just put his butt into dudes and get to his spot in the post and not settle for floaters or hook shots or whatever. And I think they're working on that, but all the tools are there, and you can so rarely say, I mean, just look at guys at the top of this draft, LaMelo Ball. Do you ever expect him to be an elite shooter at his position? No. You look at a guy like Anthony Edwards. It's like, how good can he be defensively? You hope above average to good, but there's certainly things in his game that you're already saying, like, all right, that's just not going to be what he is. With Wiseman, I don't know that there's a thing yet where you're going to say he can't do that. And given that it's been more than 10 games and that he hasn't shown that glaring weakness just yet, there'll be things that he struggles with over the course of his career, I'm sure. But given that we don't really already know what that is, and we don't know what box is going to be left unchecked, I think is hugely impressive.
I completely agree. Let me put it this way. He hasn't had a Zion game. So I remember, you know, Zion finally debuts. It had kind of a crappy first half. Then the second half, he goes crazy. And play after play, you can see immediately, this kid's a difference maker and a franchise player, and you know why he went number one. And there hasn't been a time like that for Wiseman. There hasn't been one game, full game, where he has dominated and you're sure that he's going to be a star going forward. But there's been a couple of Zion moments, man. And in fact, I think if you went back through every game, through the 13 they've played, you could probably pull at least one moment out of each of those where he showed something where you're like, whoa, you know, this kid just might have a franchise ceiling. Mm-hmm. So there, you know, there's questions, there's development that needs to be had, but I think there's real reason for optimism. And if you mix in, it's not just Wiseman who's learning how to be Wiseman, it's the Warriors who are learning how to use Wiseman. You know, they've had people like JaVale McGee, they've had rim runners, but they haven't had anybody with his potential. And I would imagine they're learning how to fold him in the same way he's learned how to fit in. So this is a continuing process that has a lot of reasons to believe is going to be real successful.
I want to talk a little bit more about Andrew Wiggins too, because if you talk about the surprise of the Warriors season, I think it's Andrew Wiggins. Here's his stats in the last 10 games. 18.7 points per game, 47.5% shooting overall, 41.7% from three-point range, 4.6 rebounds, 2.7 assists, 1.8 blocks. His block numbers are like Joel Embiid's block numbers. They're ridiculous. Andrew Wiggins, to me, I think James Wiseman, his contributions are loud, like we're talking about. Kelly Oubre, his shortcomings are loud. Steph Curry can go off for 62 points. Draymond Green, we kind of know what to expect with him. But with Wiggins, he was so important not only to what is going to be this season, but going forward, because he's still under contract, unlike somebody like Oubre, that him settling into this role the way that he has could be the most important takeaway. Second most important takeaway behind whatever James Wiseman becomes, that concerning the Warriors' future. What have you thought about Andrew Wiggins this season so far?
Wes, if you had come to me before this year started, I'm like, all right, man, I'm going to give you a little glimpse into the future. One of these two things is going to happen during this Warrior season. Option one, your dog is going to learn how to speak Spanish. Option two, Andrew Wiggins is going to have, quote, Joel Embiid block numbers throughout the year. Well, I'm like, God damn, my dog isn't that smart. He doesn't even listen to me, but it must be the Spanish thing, and that's bananas. We got to call, like, you know, National Geographic or something and get a documentary crew in here to really look into my dog suddenly speaking, because I never would have believed the Wiggins defensive renaissance. So have I noticed it? Of course. Have I enjoyed it? Absolutely. I'm almost afraid to look at it too closely, like talking about a no-hitter in the fifth or something, because I think, like, if we really examine it and really talk about it, it's suddenly going to disappear. So yes, I've been impressed, and I'll add to that. His defense has been unbelievable. His drive, which is something that we've kind of questioned, has been unquestionable. But to start the year, the reason I was positive Wiggins could have a big season was because all of the expectations had finally been taken off his back. And Minnesota is supposed to be the franchise guy. He couldn't be, and he kind of folded under that. And then this year, theoretically, he wasn't going to have any expectations. He's the third option. Clay and Steph will handle it. Well, he lost that cover. Clay gets hurt. He has all these expectations put right back on him. The season starts. I assume he's folding again. It's not going to happen. And then no, Wes, he has dealt with those expectations, and he has been, you know, one of the shiny aspects of this new season, man. So it is, it's awesome. I still feel like I know nothing about him personally. You know, like his personality is a complete mystery to me, but I now feel like I really like him on the team, and I feel close to him because of his accomplishments, you know? So yeah, I'm a huge thumbs up, and I've been very impressed.
He's second right now on the team in scoring. His shooting percentage over for the season, not just the last 10 games, which has been awesome, but for the course of the season, has been better than Steph's. His overall field goal percentage, not just his three-point percentage, but by the way, so is his three-point percentage. 38.6% from three-point range this year. To see him settle into this role, and by the way, I think he was very much over the Minnesota experience, and it wasn't because... Well, actually it was. It was because the organization was so disorganized. It was because they were just constantly losing. It's because he wasn't pushed. And look, the expectations aren't just there. He was the number one pick. You know, you're the franchise savior, all these things, et cetera. That's not his attitude. He's not, for lack of a better term, to use this, you know, radio sports talk term, he's not an alpha. And that's okay. He doesn't have to be. I mean, he did when he was the number one pick. He had to be in order for it to work in Minnesota. In Golden State, he no longer has to be that. And he is somebody who very much appreciates being around other winners, other culture setters, other people who could just do that stuff so that he doesn't have to. So that he could just say, what do you need me to do? You need me to hit this open three? You just need me to cut? You need me to play some defense? Great. I'll just do that. Everybody else take care of the more complicated ethos of the organization kind of theoretical, you know, game theory stuff. I'm just going to sit here and do these three things really well. And he's settled into that really well. Steph Curry is obviously the number one option. I would go so far as to say that Draymond Green is kind of the number two in charge of the offense, at times the number one in charge of the offense. So while Wiggins is sort of the number two scorer, he's still kind of the third guy who touches the ball most of the time. And that's fine. Like, that's good enough – That's a good spot for him. And then when Clay comes back to this thing next year, I think he'll be even better. Andrew Wiggins, by the way, is only 25 years old. I think that he's not going to make an all-star game ever, but that's okay. He needs to, if he could play defense this way and score and you know, be a supplemental scorer this way, that's a really good get for what you traded, which was just D'Angelo Russell, and you got another first-round pick in return. It was so clear that D'Angelo Russell, from a culture perspective, wasn't a fit, that he didn't appreciate not having to be the guy, right? Because he wanted to be the guy. And now Andrew Wiggins is sort of the opposite of that from a personality perspective. He appreciates not having to be the guy. And exactly. It's just a good fit with on a team that has already three guys.
Two fast follow-ups. One, when you gave me his three-point percentage, all I could hear was Kevin Garnett screaming, "Anything is possible!" that's now echoing in my head. Two, let me pause and just thank Minnesota. And I'm not sure how to thank them more than I'm about to, because there's a world, Wes, where next year the Warriors will have six difference makers on their team, principally because of Minnesota. Let's go through them. Steph Curry. Steph Curry's on the team because Minnesota passed him on the draft twice. Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson's on the team because Minnesota didn't want to trade Kevin Love. Andrew Wiggins. Wiggins is on the team because they were willing to give him to us for D'Angelo Russell. Wiseman's on the team because Minnesota passed on him in the draft. Draymond's on the team because Minnesota passed on him on the draft. And then there might be another draft pick that we get next year, top five, hopefully, or four or five, principally because of that trade. So Minnesota, thank you. Thank you so much. It was a hell of a contribution. We couldn't have done it without you.
Turns out the Timberwolves can build the championship roster.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Just for other teams. That disorganization can help.
60 seconds on Kelly Oubre.
Gosh, I'm glad you're asking me for it now. I can't remember somebody who in the same month had the worst possible opening to a job and then immediately illustrated to his employers why they hired him in the first place. That last game against the Lakers where he was hounding, there was a few plays. He was hounding LeBron. He punked Kuzma at some point. He scored on him and then did that head nod thing he does with his obnoxious hair. And I loved it because I hated Kuzma. So bottom line is I am on board for Oubre. I think they are slowly figuring out how to utilize him. $80 million may have been a little expensive, but it's not my money, so I'm a fan.
Are you a fan of the nickname Kelly Cobain?
First time I've heard it, and yes, I am.
All right. It's the first time you've heard it because it's never been uttered out loud until just now. I came up with it. He dresses in these like grunge flannels all the time. He's kind of got that emo kind of grungy attitude. It kind of always looks like he's wearing mascara, just like Kurt Cobain
did. Is he wearing mascara? This isn't a criticism. I just want to know. Every time I think he is, then I get a shot that suggests he isn't. Every time I think he isn't, I get a shot that suggests he is. Like, I need some reporting on that, Wes.
I will definitely ask him. And when I say I'll definitely ask him, there is no way in hell that I am going to ask him.
Definitely not ask him that.
Kelly. Yeah. Is that, I wanted to try to think of a brand name of mascara. And as I was saying that sentence, I realized I don't know any, which is probably a good sign. Kelly, he might know. I'll ask him that. Hey, what's your favorite brand of mascara? Caught.
I love that as just a quick follow-up. You know, he's talking about whatever. The pace worked out really well today. It was one of our goals going into it. And then, okay, Wes Goldberg. Yeah, quick follow-up on that. What's your favorite brand of mascara, Kelly?
Wes Goldberg, Bay Area News Group. Bram, I don't want to go through the entire 15-man roster with you, even though, I'd love to talk to you that long. But let's just go to this, a bench player that you Pascal. Feel like talking about. Pascal.
What I have really enjoyed about Pascal, and we talked about this on the huddle this week, so I'm going to reuse an analogy and I apologize for it, but it's not just his competency. It's watching him get used to his competency and actually believe in it, right? For me, if I'm learning something and I'm successful at it, the first time I've actually done it, I don't really believe that I can replicate it. Stupid example, when I was learning how to blow a bubble with bubble gum, you know, and that the first time I got lucky and out it popped, when I tried to show that off to friends afterwards, I wasn't positive it was going to happen again. I told them I could do it. Outwardly, I showed that I had some confidence in my ability, but really, until you do it enough times where you know it's automatic, you're not confident in that skill set.
Is that why you were blowing bubbles a month ago in front of me?
Left and right. And it's why I said, hey, Wes, look. And then I didn't finish actually saying, look at this, because I wasn't sure if it was going to happen.
Okay.
And I appreciated your support during that time, man. It was a rough time for me. You know, it's how I got through the pandemic. But trying to wrap this analogy back, watching Pascal last year, because he was very successful, you know, was one thing. But watching him take that skill set and no longer be the focal point of the offense and do it on a team that actually has aspirations is a whole different thing. And now that he has his new role as the small ball second five, watching him not only be successful, but watching him start to believe in that success, knowing that he can do it, knowing that he can outquick people, has been a lot of fun. It's one of the unexpected upsides of the young season.
Yeah. My biggest question with Pascal going into this year was what his role was going to be, if he'd be able to play alongside the starters. There was some conversation about him maybe being in the closing lineup, even if he wasn't starting games. You could argue going into the season, he's one of their best five players. And I think that was true. I had questions about whether or not he could coexist in a lineup with Steph and Draymond and not being able to dribble 4, 5, 6 times every possession, all these things. Well, turns out the way to fix that is to put him at center and just let him do all of that.
Yeah.
And I think it's been awesome. And I don't know if he's a long-term small ball center, but I don't not know that either. And they've tried playing with him with Kevon Looney to mixed results. You know, I thought that some of the negativity on that in the Denver game is a little overblown. I think that there's a world where those two could play together. I do wonder if Marquese Chris ever plays for the Warriors again. I don't know that that is the case anymore. If you think that your future trio is James Wiseman, Kevon Looney, and Eric Pascal. So I don't know what this means for him long-term, but to me, it's pretty clear that his role in the NBA at whatever position is going to be guy off the bench who scores a bunch of points against other backups. And you know what? In the second round, where you got him, and in this NBA, that's a really useful player. I don't know if he'll win Sixth Man of the Year this year, but he strikes me as a guy who, if everything works out, could be in those conversations 2 or 3 times throughout over the course of his career, which is really, really good. When you talk about guys who are in that kind of conversation multiple times throughout their career, those are very helpful, supportive type of role players. And I think that might just be where Eric Pascal ends up. Again, that's a really good get in the second round.
I forgot he was a second rounder. Shout out to Minnesota. Thank you for Eric Pascal as well. And the only remaining question I have for Eric Pascal is, what's his favorite brand of mascara? I mean, and to be fair, I don't know that for most of the players. So another thing I'd like you to ask.
I will do a whole survey. That'll be the next article that I write, is favorite players mascaras.
I better get a quote in that article. That's all I'm saying. You know, we'll see whenever it comes out, but I'm looking for my quote.
I want to get to some mailbag questions about Warriors slander from the media, Kelly Oubre, and more, but I had so much fun talking to Bram that we had to break this up into 2 episodes. Luckily for you, you don't have to wait to listen to the mailbag portion until tomorrow. Just, it's up now. Check it out. It's just on a separate episode, so you should check that out right now. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors wherever you listen to podcasts. Please rate, review, say nice things about the show. Send your comments and questions to me on Twitter at WC Goldberg or email them to wgoldberg@bayareanewsgroup.com. Thank you for listening. Stay safe, and I'll see you either on the mailbag episode or tonight after the game versus the Spurs for a recap.